Put your left hand over your heart. Lift your right hand to heaven. Say, Father, I'm so thankful for your Savior. I'm thankful that this is my church. You planted me here, and the devil cannot take me out. I thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a wise and understanding heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus is just, he's just, I can just see him there on the right hand of the Father as our great intercessor, as our great high priest, just making prayers, making intercession for you and I. And he's, I can just see as he gets revelation from the Father and he prays that revelation out for your life and my life, for this time that we're living in, that there's an excitement in heaven like there's never been. I have to believe that because we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. And don't you know that Jesus, the Bible says that he is waiting as a husbandman. He's waiting as that as a farmer does for their harvest. Jesus is waiting for you and I to come back to heaven and be with him forever. Amen. And I understand we say heaven, but we know, we understand that wherever God is, that's where heaven is, on earth. Wherever it may be, however God works everything out. I don't want to get into a theological debate, but I'm excited this morning, aren't you? That Jesus loves us. He has a plan for our life. Now, I want you this morning to get on board with the Holy Spirit because this is a special moment for us. We're trying to get back into Colossians where we started. We preached two sermons out of that, and we're going to get back to that. But that'll be at the right time. God wants to do something special this morning. I got up, and it was like I was touching electricity because I was excited in my spirit. Like I'm always excited to come to the house of the Lord, but I get even more excited when God has a rhema word for us for something he wants to do right now. Amen. Thank God for the prophecy and the promises that come to pass moment by moment. But God wants to do something right now. So you get on board with the Holy Spirit. And remember, we're preaching. We're not teaching. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. And for a text, we're going to. Now, in this 11th chapter, I'm not taking this out of context. This 11th chapter is talking about Israel in reality and talking about how God is not going to leave them behind. And just because they, you and I, we got grafted in, thank God. Say, I'm grafted in. God's not going to leave Israel. Amen. He's not going to leave the Jewish people. He has an Abrahamic covenant with them. He has promises with the patriarchs, and God's going to, he's going to work with them. And through the book of Revelation, you can see they're going to come in. Amen. And so I'm not trying to take this verse out of context, but I want to use this for a foundational verse for the direction the Lord wants to go. Because this morning, under the sound of my voice, many of you laid down some things that God's gave you. And you've let the devil and the flesh cheat you out of it in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm being just as blunt and honest with you as I can be. But you have to hear by the Holy Ghost and receive what God would have for you because, as we're going to look at our text, God don't change his mind. Amen? All right, Romans chapter 11, verse 29 for a text. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The Holy Ghost is here. He's here. Guess what? The devil's here too, but Jesus is greater. Amen. Jesus is greater. Everywhere Jesus is, there's an opportunity to hear and receive great words of encouragement and direction. Romans 11, 29. For the gifts, mark this down in your mind's eye, write it on the table of your heart. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For the gifts, the charisma, the anointing of God, and the calling, the invitation to his will, his plan, are without repentance. They're irrevocable. Irrevocable. God will never change his mind. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us, Lord. Thank you for the
opportunity. Yes, Lord.
For opening our hearts, doors, and our minds, outside interference.
That's right.
Give us enough will and unction to step forward in the Word, Lord, to receive what you have for us fully.
Yes.
Giving us the ability to walk it out.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for getting into the flow of the Spirit. So we see right here that God says he has gifts. He has a charisma. That's what the Greek word is. It means it's an anointing that will get you into your calling. God has an anointing that will get you into your calling. And so he has called us to salvation, and thank God for that. But after he calls us to salvation, he calls us to so much more where we can be his light, his vessel, his truth, his hope in a lost and dying world. Amen. And so I just want to hit a couple high points here, and then we're going to look at some things. But in the book of James, I think it's James 1 and 17. Put James 1 and 17 up on the screen, Brother Ryan. It tells us about God. And it said, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that you have in your life, everything that I have in my life, it comes from God. The Lord is good, and he gives what? Good gifts. Amen. He didn't know anything else. But every good and every perfect, every complete gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, it doesn't matter where you're at. Some of you have walked a great distance away from where God has wanted you to be, and you're out of his perfect will. You're still in his permissive will, but the further we get away from the perfect will of God, and the more that we get into just the simply permissive will of God, the more leeway that the devil has to work in our lives. The more he can lie to us, the more he can deceive us, the more he can direct us with little happenings, little unctions from people in the world, from little situations and circumstances that are not of God, but seemingly they have a religion upon them. They have an influence upon them, and we don't recognize that. And so we got to be in the place, and we've got to say, wait a minute, my God, he's everywhere his face is, there's light. That's why the Aaronic benediction in Numbers chapter 6 that we love to pray about the priesthood, when we play that, you know, we pray that let the Lord's face shine upon us, because if his face is shining upon us, we're in the light. And if we're in the light, guess what? We're understanding what the giftings of God are. We're understanding some promises. All right, so let's look at some things. First of all, what's the first gift that you need to walk in and be so excited of that stems from salvation? Go with me to hold your place in Romans. We'll be right back. But go to John chapter 14. You have a gifting this morning of intimacy. You have a gifting of fellowship that is yours, that is so important. God sent Jesus to shed his blood, to take away our old carnal nature and to give us a new nature of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, where we could fellowship with him. God would rather be with you this morning right now than anybody else. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to speak a word into you. He wants to bring a revelation of his love for you. He wants to direct you in every step. Because, see, all of a sudden, you're made good by the good God, because you're born of a good God. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. And so you're born of God, so you are in your spirit. Now you're good. And so the Bible says that the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. So every step you take can be ordered by the Lord, and it comes in from this fellowship. Look at John 14, let's just, for sake of time, let's just start reading in verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he's prophesying. He's talking about what's going to happen after the day of Pentecost, after Jesus ascends, and then the Holy Spirit comes to abide here in and through the believer. He said, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So this gift is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The comforter means one just like Jesus. So the same Jesus that walked with the disciples, that taught about God's blessings, about God's goodness, about God's grace, about God's power, the one who demonstrated everything that he saw in heaven and spoke out everything that he heard from the Father in heaven, he lives in you this morning. He lives in you. He wants you to be his disciple. He wants you to become his apostle, his sent one in the earth. He wants you to be everything that he has destined from the foundation of the world for you to be. Amen? Look at verse 19. He said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also." Now notice this, verse 20, "And that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you." In other words, after the day of Pentecost, you know some things. When you know that you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you know that you're born of the Spirit. You know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know that. So the first gift is this gift of fellowship, this gift of intimacy. See, I spent so much of my Christian walk knowing about Jesus rather than getting to know Jesus. And so many times I would battle depression and I would be so sad and all of these things and just depressed in so many different areas because I wouldn't fellowship in with Jesus. And so every area that I don't fellowship in Jesus in, guess who's going to fellowship with me? And so Jesus had joy for me, joy unspeakable, but I was dealing with oppression and sadness and gloominess because everything that I don't receive from the Lord, the devil has the counter, the negative, the pessimistic part of it to instill into my life. Amen. So this morning, the gift is fellowship. So this morning, some of you are struggling with some things, and I want you to know that God has been thinking about you. You've been on his mind, and he's been using Jesus to pray out, intercede for you. He's been using your brothers and sisters to pray for you. I want you to know that God is working in your life. He's mindful of every situation because of this intimacy this morning. This is a gift. This is a gift. You and I, there's some people that we'd love to talk to and we can't talk to them. But the most important person in the whole universe says, "I'll talk to you at any time, at any place," and nobody else has to even know about it. You can be sitting there and the doctor can be giving you a bad report. You can be sitting there and be looking at the bills like some of you were last week. And you look at the bills and you look at the month. Guess what? You can talk to Jesus about it. Some of you got some situations with some family, and there's some separation, there's some division, there's some heartache there, and that seems so strong and so big, but guess what? You can talk to Jesus about it right in the middle of what's happening, and he'll intercede, intervene, and he'll bring you the truth where there's a lie trying to work. Amen? Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments," what's the first commandment? To love the Lord. How many love the Lord this morning? And then love your neighbor as your. So the love law, that's the commandment that you and I are looking for here in the New Testament at the time of grace. "He that keepeth my commandments," or "he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it that is loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father." Notice this, "and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The first gift after salvation is the manifestation of Jesus, not just as Savior, but as friend. This word manifest, it's a Greek word that means that I will show you myself in person. That I will reveal my heart to you with my words that you can hear. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. If you don't believe it, you can study it out for your very self. You need to. It's your soul. Come on, this is the Jesus we're talking about. That's what he wants to do. He wants to reveal himself to you. All right, go back to Romans. And this time, let's look at Romans. Look what he does to us in Romans chapter 5. Let's just look at a couple gifts, and then we're going to get to where we're going and let the Holy Ghost do what he wants to do. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 5. God gives you and I the gift of love, and we could go to 1 John chapter 4, but I know I don't have time to cover all that. I would wish we did, but we don't. Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed because, now here's what I want you to concentrate on, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God, that love of God is Jesus. And Jesus, the demonstration, if we drop down to verse 8 in this, of this chapter, is the love of God that has been given to you. So this gift is the gift of love. It's the gift to be able to, first of all, to love yourself. Now, this is so important this morning for God to do what He's going to call you to do, to what the anointing, the next level He's bringing you in. Oh, say, I'm in the position of submission. I'm in the position for transition. Oh, come on now. You get with the Holy Ghost now. He's going to get you in the position to transition you from this part of your life to the next part, the next promise of God. And that comes because God loves you. God loves you with an everlasting love, but He helps you to love yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Forget about the past. Let the love of God cover all the multitude of sins. You can't do anything about the past. But Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Amen? So you love yourself, but you're able to love God, you're able to love Jesus, and you're able to love your brothers and sisters. We don't always understand one another, but we always love one another. Isn't there a security in that? There's a security in that, that because if everything comes back to love, it'll always work out. Okay, drop down to verse 17. Let's look at another gift. Romans 5:17. For by one man's offense, death, I'm talking about the first Adam, one man's offense, death reigned, ruled, was a king by one. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace, come on, you have received the abundance of grace. You've got the gift of grace. The Bible says that God's grace is what? From the Greek, it means it's enough for every situation. So it doesn't matter what's happening in your life. God's grace is enough to take you through the trial, take you through the trouble, take you through the storm, take you through the lie, take you to the truth, and build you up. Notice this, and because you've got that grace, because you're saved because of grace and faith, it says, and the gift of righteousness. Say, I've got the gift of righteousness. You know what that means? That means that you can come boldly to the throne of grace without anything hanging over your head because you have been made in right standing with God. When God looks at you, He sees what Jesus done, your acceptance thereof. He sees the blood of Jesus and you're in righteousness because of your faith in the very sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gift is that you don't ever have to hang your head down again. That gift is that you're in right standing with God, and if you're in right standing with God, it doesn't matter if somebody else doesn't accept you. Say, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Come on, that's what Paul told the church at Ephesus. When you're accepted in the Beloved, everything else works out. So you've got this gift of grace, you've got this gift of righteousness, and look what it does in your life. Of the gift, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You don't have to bow down to the devil, to the flesh, to this world anymore. You're called to rule and reign with your elder brother, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. That's a gift. So what you do this morning, you come back and you say, Lord, here's what I saw happen in my life last week. Here's the battle I faced. Here's the struggle that I went through. I know that you brought me through that or I wouldn't be here this morning. But now I want you to show me how I can utilize these gifts. This gift of fellowship. Come on, this gift of love. Because love never... That means because you're born by the Spirit because of love, you cannot. So show me how I can put these gifts in operation where I can be in that place of grace where it is enough, it is sufficient, where I can be in the place where I know that I'm right standing in God. Don't let the devil browbeat you anymore. Jesus is the one that said that you were clean. The devil has no part, no lot in the matter. Got to live. You've got to let the righteousness of Jesus rule in your life. Amen? Now, drop down to chapter 6, verse 23, the last verse, and then we're going to get to the... I just had to put this in here to put the foundation of how we're to live and operate. Look at Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's what you and I were going to be paid. But aren't you glad that Jesus took our payment on the cross for us? But the gift of God is what? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're alive forevermore. Tell the devil, I'm going to live and not die. Amen? You have eternal life. Now, what this word eternal life means, it means from the moment that God created you, before you were ever placed in your mama's womb, before you ever come in this flesh, you had life from that moment, and you'll have life until forever. Until, because there's no end with God. There's no time with God. He's outside of time. He is the eternity. So, in other words, you have life in the God that has always been and will always be. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He's our all in all. So, you've got to live like this morning. Amen? This is your gifting. This is what God wants you to do. Brother Ryan, put Matthew 10:8. Matthew 10:8. Jesus makes a statement as he's getting ready to send out his disciples. Say, I'm a disciple. I'm becoming an apostle. Come on, that's weak. I'm becoming an apostle. That just simply means that you're being sent by the Lord. Apostelos, the sent ones. Jesus said, when you and I go, we heal the sick. We cleanse the lepers. We raise the dead. We cast out devils. Now notice what he said, the last part. That's why we come here. Say, I have gifts freely. I've received freely. Give. See, the devil don't want you to know the power of impartation. He doesn't want you to understand the ability of what you've received, what you can give out today. Amen? Everything that God has revealed to you wasn't just for you. Yes, He loves you, but He gave it to you that you could learn, nurture, grow, develop, and then you could what? You could impart it to someone else. See, the more we give to Jesus, oh my, it just opens up the floodgates. All right. Now, all of that to get to this. This is the most important part. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. And this is, we're going to use this to help us understand how the early church grew and developed in this gifting and how God put people in their place, in their time. Now, and just to lay a background in case you are not familiar, Acts 3 is where Peter and John, they go into the temple, and the Lord uses them to raise up the lame man at the gate. Beautiful. They didn't pray for him. They said, such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You got to know who you're serving. You got to know what your gifting, your calling is. You got to know that Jesus said, heal the. So they get them in all kinds of trouble. They get cast in jail. They get beaten and all these things. And then they come out and they come back to the, in this fourth chapter, they come back to the rest of the disciples and apostles. And they have this prayer. And they pray the prayer that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And let's pick it up right there after they finish the prayer, finishing up verse 30 for sake of time. You'll have to cover this in your home study time. Acts 4 and 30, as they finish the prayer, they say, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Who's Jesus' hand in the earth? Freely you have. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, everyone went to sleep and they walked themselves home. See, God wants us to know things hasn't changed. Prayer is not boring. We've got to get back to having, thank God we have our private prayer meetings, but we need to start having prayer meetings in this church. Jesus was very explicit. He said, my house shall be called what? A house of, that's the least thing that's done in the house of God. Well, I don't really want to go to prayer meeting. We better do what God wants us to do. But it's going to take all of us. One can't get it done. Two and Jesus can. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The closer you and I are to the Lord, the more bold we are. Amen? Now notice what happens. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. How many? All. Now notice how everybody's working together. You got the apostles, you got the disciples, you got the church working with the apostles, you got the apostles working with the church. You got unity. We'll never do anything when we're doing our own thing. We've got to come together. You've got to know that you're where God planted you. You've got to know that God's talking to you, as he's talking to your brothers and sisters, as he's talking to the leaders in the church, and you've got to say, I'm going to be a part of that. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not asking you to give anything materially. But I am, and the Holy Ghost is asking you this morning for you to give spiritually. We need your giftings. The body of Christ. God gave you what you have, the charisma and the calling, because he needed you to be active. He needed you to be willing. He needed you to be in the place and the position where you go when he says go, you speak when he says speak, and you heed when he says heed. Now, don't get mad at me. God is wanting to do an amazing work. He's wanting you and I to be a well-oiled, Holy Ghost-oiled machine. Now notice, here's why we came here, verse 36. And Hoseas, or this would be better translated, Joseph. If you look in the first chapter, down about verse 23 of this same book, they translate it Joseph. And what did Joseph mean in the Old Testament? What did Joseph do in the book of Genesis? What did he do? He added. His name means adding. Let him add. He added and he saved the whole world from starvation. Remember, there were 7 years of plenty. They were seven fat cows and seven lean cows. And God put him in a place and a position Listen, we're coming up on lean times in the name of Jesus, but it's not going to be lean for the body of Christ. It's not going to be lean for those who are walking in the will and the work of the Lord. Amen? Because you're not sentenced to live by this world. You are called to live in and from heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Paul said that in the church at Philippi. He said, your conversation, but the word from the Greek is your citizenship is from heaven. That means you're under the rule, the authority of heaven. So we've got to be in this place, in this position, where we get a mindset that our God will meet all needs. Amen? He's not a God that's worried. So Joseph, if you look it up for yourself, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. So think about this. The apostles, the apostles, those who were sent, they looked at Joseph here and they said, listen, God is going to take you. You're in the position for transition. And so we're going to speak a word over you, and that word is going to move you from where you're at to the next phase of where God wants you to go. See, you and I can never go where God would have us to unless we're willing to hear what the Spirit is saying. That's why Jesus, he said to the churches there in the first three chapters of Revelation, will you hear what I'm saying, what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Notice this. His name, they surnamed him Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. All of those things are important. Don't think they're just trying to fill page. They surnamed him Barnabas. Barnabas, if you look it up, it goes back to the Old Testament prophet Nabas. Nabas means a prophetic word of comfort. So all of a sudden, they're surnaming Joseph, and they're saying, from this day on, you're going to be a prophet who will bring comfort to people who will hear. Your anointing is going to be in being able to give what's been gave to you, but you're going to have an anointing, and I'll show you in just a moment of time, to be able to bring and make connections. Now, the Holy Ghost is talking to some people in this service this morning, and he wants to rename some of you. He wants to put this anointing on your life if you will accept it and receive it. He wants you to see that you have the ability to give out of your life everything that the Lord has for you. Once again, don't get nervous. I'm not trying to get any dollars out of you. But I'm trying to pull out of your spirit what was put there the moment that you got born again. Until 2 hours ago, I didn't know any of this. The son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus. So he has a background. Say, I've got a background. You're in the priesthood of Jesus. The Bible says that you are kings and come on, Peter tells us that. Paul tells us that in Hebrews. But he said, I'm going to give you a prophetic voice. Because today, you know, there's so much confusion because people haven't been taught. Whether you believe it or not, you can read Ephesians chapter 4. But there's still prophets in the body of Christ today. But you've got to separate the office of a prophet from where the body of Christ, everyone in the body of Christ can and should prophesy. The Bible, Paul's very clear. He said, you must covet the best gifts. You must have a desire to prophesy, because that means that in your spirit is boiling up the words of the Holy Spirit. You're coming in agreement and you're speaking out the creative force of the Word of God. And that's what they're saying here about his. That's why his name means Barnabas, means son of comfort. Because what did Paul say about prophecy? I'm not talking about the prophet. I'm talking about prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy. It should comfort, exhort. Come on, help me. Edify. Barnabas, comfort. Okay. See, I, with all of my heart, I don't want to bore you. I don't want to delay you. But I want to impart to you the truth. So if you're not on the page with me, if you don't understand, raise your hand. But if you understand, then we're going to go on. You've got to see that God don't want you to live by the old man, the old name. Live and walk in the newness of life, Paul said. Amen? Now look what happens. Go with me. Let's go over the ninth chapter. Let's look at Barnabas just a little bit more. In the ninth chapter, you've got Saul that's just going nuts, persecuting the church, bringing all sorts of trouble and heartache. And so the Lord, he meets him on the road to Damascus, and he miraculously reveals himself to him, and he gets born again. He gets he finds a revelation that he's a chosen vessel and that he is going to go before kings and rulers, and he's going to take the message to Jews first, but then to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? So this revelation comes. And so God is wanting to use him and loose him. Now listen clearly to what I'm fixing to say by the Spirit of God in just a moment. Don't be thinking about anything else. Think about what he wants to put in your heart. So the Holy Spirit wants to use Paul. He's going to turn Saul into Paul and use him, but nobody wants to accept it. You realize that God can enable you to be accepted if you would allow him to do that. Now stay with me. Drop down to verse, let me read 22, and I'm not going to try to hold you long, but verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. What did he do? Proving that this is the very Christ. In other words, proving who Jesus was. So this is what Saul, what Paul's ministry is. Now look what happens. Verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, so he's going back, I'm going to go to the home church. I'm going to go in and I'm going to tell them what Jesus has done for me. I'm going to repent to them for all of those things that I've done, but I'm going to let them see Jesus in my life. I'm going to let them say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm somebody different. And when he was come to Jerusalem, he assuaged to join himself to the disciples. Notice this, say, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. See, man may not accept your calling. They may not accept who you are at this moment of time. But what God will do in your life, he will put the right person in your life. He will put a Barnabas spirit on you. Or he'll put a Barnabas spirit in someone around you, and he will make a divine connection. But some of you this morning, I'm not looking at that direction so much. I'm looking at the direction that God wants to put a Barnabas spirit on you to bring revelation. That you are designed, you were made from the foundation of the world to make connections that nobody else can make. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assuaged to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him. Come on. The son of comfort, the son of the prophetic word that brings comfort, took him and brought him to the apostles. He didn't take him to the disciples. We got to start at the head. Everything's done properly and in order. And when we do things in order, Jesus is exalted and glorified, and everybody else comes together. Our trouble is we get around and go, you know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to do this and that and that, and I don't like it. And it goes all through the whole, everybody else. It never comes up and says to the head of the church, this is what you need to do. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Notice this, verse 28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. They accepted Paul. They accepted Saul, who was turned into a Paul. Because why? Because the son of a comfort, a prophetic word spoke. Come on, you can bring people together. This morning, God's wanting to put a Barnabas anointing on your life, the spirit of Barnabas upon your life, where you can be used by the Lord to bring connections that cause people who are looking at the past, looking at situations and judging people and all of these things on the external, and come back to the root, the reality of what Jesus Christ is doing in somebody's heart. You got to believe it. Real quick, go over to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. It says, they're fixing to have a great move of the Spirit in here. And it starts, and for sake of time, look at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jew only. Now what did Jesus command the disciples in Acts chapter 1? He said, you're going to preach my word to the uttermost parts of the earth, Judah and Samaria, and the other, everybody. Stephen was killed because they wouldn't go. That makes people mad. If they had went, that persecution wouldn't have had to have been in that place, in that position. But God didn't do it. The devil did it. But God used it for his glory, and he used it to push them forth. But they're still not preaching to everybody. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That's what we're looking for this morning. Amen. Notice this. Then the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, the head of the home church, the head, the hierarchy. And they sent forth who? Barnabas, that he should go forth as Antioch. Why? Because Barnabas was from, what do we read? Cyprus. Now listen real careful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind every outside voice, every outside word you hear by the Holy Ghost. God, at the right time, will send you back to what was in the past, because you will know how to deliver somebody from that past. He will send you to where you've been in His timing, that you can reach into their heart with a word of truth, with the charisma anointing that is on your life, and you can bring them out of that situation, and they can come to the home church. They can come to Jesus. You believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much more. Okay. Hallelujah. So you've got to start seeing yourselves through the eyes of the Spirit, and you've got to let the Lord call you who you are. See, I've wasted, Don and I got saved in September of 1991, and I've wasted so much time letting the devil limit me by putting labels and names and tags on me because of my past and because of my mindset. Jesus wants to give you a new name. We went to church one night, and there was a man, never saw him before in her life, me and Donna, and God uses him. He preaches differently than anybody you've ever heard, and unless you're in tune with the Spirit, most people wouldn't like him. And so he walks up, me and Donna sitting there in the front, our second pew back, and he looks right at us, and he said, what's your name? And I told him, and it don't matter who I tell my name, I've got to tell it like 13 times. I don't know if I can't, I guess I can't say it or they can't hear it. And he said, what? And three times I repeated the name. And he said, he looked at me and he said, Obadiah. I thought, dear God, they've called me Steve. They've called me everything else. How in the world does he get Obadiah out of my name? Because, see, we hadn't been saved long. We hadn't been in a prophetic church at all. But see, the Spirit of God says, I want you to know that you're going to be my prophetic servant in the future. But see, I could never hear that. I could never receive that because all I could think about was, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I'm embarrassed. I'm fearful. I don't have the education. I don't have this. I don't have that. When you've got Jesus, you've got all you need. Amen? Now, all of this has happened just for this moment of time right here. And this will be a sermon where you'll go home and you'll go, well, I wish I knew what that was all about. Or you'll go home and go, oh my gosh, God is real. And he's active within the body of Christ. It's not my choice. It's not your choice. And I'm not going to go home and beat myself up like I usually do. No more. I've laid that down in the name of Jesus. I can't make you hear. Only the Holy Ghost can. And so I'm tired of letting the devil use me as a rug mat and wipe his stuff on me. I'm just going to do what God says and I'm going to go on. So now, in the name of Jesus, just let the Lord talk to you. And if this bears witness in your spirit, we're going to pray. I want you to come and I want you to come up here and I want you to lift up your spirit to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus in your life this morning and let him impart to you a word of who you really are. But there's some of you here that he wants, if you will allow me to, and I have nothing to do with it other than just being God's servant, he wants me to lay hands on you and you're going to receive this Barnabas spirit. You're going to be able to understand that you're designed to give out of your spirit everything that God's gave you. You're going to understand that you're going to be able to make divine connections for people that otherwise where they're separated. And you're going to be able to go back to the past and use everything the devil meant for harm in your life for the glory of Jesus Christ. Those three things. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, to the best of my ability, I have said what you dropped in my spirit. And now it's not on me, it's on you, and it's on the people to receive. So in the name of Jesus, let every person here hear what you're saying to them. Let them feel the tug on their heart, and let them respond. Let them yield to you. Let them trust you. I know that you're the God that meets us where we're at, and then you lead us forward gently because you are our shepherd. You take care of the lambs, and you take care of the sheep. No matter where we're at in you, so let that be, Lord, this morning. We thank you. We praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to deal with this. Who does that bear witness with that you think that God's wanting to impart to you the Barnabas spirit? If God's talking to you this morning, come and let us pray with you about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.